How great is our God, our Heavenly Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You're present in this room. You watch our service. So I pray that you will please, because our praise and worship from our heart. You listen to our voice and you listen to our prayer. Each one of us in this room have sent prayer from the bottom of their heart. So I pray the Holy Spirit will send a message. You hear their prayer. Everything we do for your Father, to you, Father, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. If you can, you can show the PowerPoint up. Okay. Spiritual discipline of worship. Do things right. Sometimes it's very, very difficult. Get up early in the morning. Come to the worship at 10 o'clock. Sound easy, but difficult. But I praise the Lord this morning. At least the praise and worship team start exactly 10:00. Perfect. That's what we call spiritual discipline in worship. And we praise the Lord for that, because our God is great God. And everything we do, at least once a week, we come together as the community to worship God. And hopefully, when we study in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 to 6, we would understand why do we need the discipline. And God requires our discipline in service. Because everything, when we come to worship, it has to be from the heart. Because if it's not from the heart, and if we not come in the condition or readiness, we will be weary, and sometimes we would get tired. And the same thing, when we singing praise God, we have to sing from the heart. So three things I want to communicate to you from the book of the letter of Romans, with Paul sent to the church of Romans, verse 1 to 6. He's talking about the discipline service or worship service show we are reasonable. Secondly, disciplined worship show we are humble. And thirdly, disciplined worship service show we are useful. Let's go one by one. Verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. All of you know, probably most of you grew up in church. The early age, most of the children are taught to display good manners. When someone does something gracious toward another, it is only reasonable and appreciation should be displayed. So you probably your parent will say thank you, be gracious when somebody help you. And that's the basics when you learn from the child. Especially when you're in school, since elementary school, the teacher teach you the behavior or the manner you should follow. And hopefully it will stick with you through the rest of your life. And the same thing what you learn when you was a young child, hopefully it stick with you to the rest of your life. So it is only reasonable, appreciate, should be displayed. It is also reasonable to expect one should be reciprocate the act of kindness when opportunity arise. Such acts of gratitude should rightly be understood and reasonable given circumstances. It is not therefore reasonable that we are recipient of the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Basically, when you pray, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, the Holy Spirit will live in you, and each one of you possibility have one spiritual gift. So when you receive the, at least one spiritual gift, and it means there's an opportunity through Jesus Christ, you have an opportunity to repay His kindness with your own obedience through services. So some of you had a gift of music, the singing, play guitar, play piano, and some other skill, drum. That's a gift. So when the Lord gives you a gift, it means give you the opportunity to serve Him, to repay Him with your service, and consider that as obedience to the Lord. So that's reason why Apostle Paul, he called up and on the believers to present your body a living and holy sacrifice. This is the call when he called using your body as a holy worship thing. So basically, the call for surrender of all we have. So what exactly do you have, really? Most of what you have, you already use it to serve the community, to serve your boss, to serve the hospital, the children, or the school. So reality, what exactly you have. So he only asked for one or two things which the Lord gave to you. It's so specific, so you can serve Him to glorify God. Paul, he highlighted the freedom from bondage of sin the believer enjoyed earlier when you study before that. So when he used the word reasonable, okay, the word reasonable in the Greek word is logistikos. So sometimes we're talking about logic. So it means total surrender of self to God. So when I'm talking about discipline, worship, service, show we are reasonable, it means you are totally surrender yourself to God when you worship in worship service. The worship service not only just on the stage when you worship God on Sunday, but whatever you do in your life is an act of worship service. And the Lord, our God, asks you to surrender yourself to God. So whatever you do in your life, do the best, because that's an act of worship. You give the glory to the Lord. Surrender yourself to the Lord. So that's the reason why when you go to work or whatever you do with freedom from bondage. Okay? You do the work. At work, wherever you do, it's not because of your boss. Yes, the boss, because you get paid for it. Okay. But higher than that, because you do to the glory of our God, our Lord. And that's what he tried to communicate. So a lot of Bible version, they translate the word reasonable, logikos, to the word of logical, reasonable, as spiritual. But everything, what exactly it means through Paul is the word of worship service. That's what it means. The believer, you believe it or not, it gets the strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, the Holy Spirit will be in you. The Holy Spirit helps you to understand the Scripture, God's Word. But again, the Holy Spirit helps you to transform yourself from the own person, the sinner person, and go through the transformation process. So one day, when you see the Lord, you will be in perfect stage, or perfect state to be in, you know, to see Him. So that's the reason why when you go through that process, the Holy Spirit in you will change you. Will give you the intelligence. Will give you the wisdom, and very much put aside or push away whatever the sin follow you, and produce in you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Galatians talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And each one of you have that ability God given you, if you rely on Him through the Holy Spirit to help you to change. And that's what it means, discipline worship show you are reasonable It means you fully surrender yourself to God when you do an act of worship service. Secondly, disciplined worship shows we are humble. Verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. When you study the Bible keeps repeat, warning again and again, the danger of pride. Each one of us, because we have the sinner, I don't know, it's probably in the DNA. So the pridefulness is in there. If it's not under control, it will pop up. Okay? Some of you, you know, when you learn how to drive, and when you get the license, driver license, you're so good, you drive the car, and suddenly you're very, very proud. Man, I'm better than my friend. Okay? I'm go through, take the driver license test. Just one, I pass. My friend had to take a couple times. You know, I'm better than him. Or maybe you have higher grade in school, and suddenly you compare yourself with other people. And somehow the pride's in there. And suddenly, if you go to work, you success. You get promotion every 2 or 3 months. And somehow the pride is kind of pop up in you again. Man, I'm really good. So the same thing is also happening in church when we worship God. At the same thing for whatever you do with an act of worship service, whatever you do in life, if we're not careful, Paul, just like Paul, he warned the church people, be careful, the danger of pride. So he provided a safeguard when he wrote that each believer was not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each measure of faith. In verse 3, we show up there. So Paul, he warned that the believer should not direct too much affection toward his own work and ability. Because if we just focus on our ability, and we become pridefulness. Yes, we need to understand our limitation of ability, our weakness in our ability, so we can learn, we improve, and that would be fine. But if we just so focus, so we compare ourselves higher than anybody else, and then become pridefulness. If you work in sales, you would find out a lot of salespeople were very prideful. I've worked in sales organization before. Because at the time I'm responsible for the sale, for the whole organization, for the sale, roughly about 800 something million bucks. My last job, I had to deal with a lot of sales people, marketing and sales people. So the one, we always set the goal. We set the goal, okay? Each salesperson have to hit certain number, and as long as me, if I hit 800 million, that will be fine, I'm okay. So you would find out the one who tried to do the shortcut to make the sale, he may achieve, let's just say, the month of August, September, but for long term, he failed miserably, because if you do the shortcut, to make a sale, you build relationship. So you have a consistent sale month in and month out. So maybe you build relationship for the month of August, you may harvest in the month of December. And that relationship, the same thing applies for the church, for worship service. If we consistent worship service week in and week out, eventually people, I have to go to the worship service at 10 o'clock 7 times. They build up the habit. Ooh, if I get there late, 10:10, the worship's still on at 10. And that's the consistency to show it not we pride, but to show us humble. Humble before God when we make the commitment, we make a commitment. And it week in, week out, same thing for sale, same thing for you go to school. In order to make an A in class, you study day in, day out. Yes, you're super intelligent, you may make it, study the night before you make an A. You do all nighter. Okay, drink coffee and stay. Yes, for short term, it's okay. For undergraduate, you may be okay. But when you get to professional school or you get to professional work, it won't cut. Because endurance, the discipline was not there. For professional work, it requires consistent day in, day out, week in, week out. And that life lesson, which Paul tried to teach the church way back. So that reason why, in order to sustain the long term, he said, not think more highly about himself or yourself than he ought to think. So we know where we are, continuous improvement, improve every day. Some of you work in a nurse. This is probably with you. Let's just say you have the doctor coming in and residency. And if that doctor, he said, he thought he knew everything, he didn't treat the nurse well, he would be miserable for the rest of his residency. He had to show when he come to the hospital, new procedure, new everything, he better to be humble. Because the nurse in that office know everything. He need to respect that nurse and treat that nurse well, so she or he can help him to be success in residency. The same thing. Some of you will work in the computer field. Yes, in school they train you everything. But a lot of things in life you don't know. You need to learn. That reason why to be humble and ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. So God give us the wisdom so we know when to talk and when not to talk, when to ask a question and when not to ask a question, when to be high and when to be low, when to be happy, encouraged, when not to. So that's the wisdom. But as long as you're in the state of humbleness, you will be success for the future, for whatever you do. Because if you said you know everything, you do it alone. Because you said you know everything. So you burn yourself, not us. And the same thing, that in life, and the same thing when you service, worship service in church. So we are humble. Thirdly, yes, but it's also, we realize everything we have, the ability, everything you have in you is a gift from God. That James, verse 1 to 17. And when Paul, he wrote to the church of Corinthians, because the church of Corinthians, a lot of pridefulness people. So he gave advice. If you boast, boast in the Lord. Don't boast in you. Okay, for the glory of God, boast and thankful. Thank the Lord for the ability you have. Thirdly, disciplined worship service show we are useful. Verse 4 to 6. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we are many who are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to proportion of his faith. It's very interesting when you study about the human body. Human body is a magnificent thing. When you study anatomy, physiology, it just amazes, you know, how the body really work together. So Paul, he used the analogy of how the church, the body of Christ, mean to operate. So he used the body, the hand cannot, not the feet, and say, hey, I don't need you. It's just like, Mục sư Sơn don't play drum. Annie play drum much better. Okay, in worship service, if Mục sư Sơn said, "Hey, honey, let me play drum," probably he will mess up everything. Just like the same thing, the hand to the feet. Hey, I don't need you. Let the feet play the drum. Let the hand do whatever else, that kind of thing. Let the hand do the walking and let the feet do the picking thing up. Yes, the feet probably can do it, but it's wrong function, wrong place, and that kind of thing. Okay? But the wonderful thing, when all this element of the body put together, the eyes, the brain, the hair, whatever, the feet, put together, we have the whole body. And the whole body function properly. But again, the whole body have to grow properly. If suddenly the head about yay big and the body real small, it won't work. Okay? Because the head too heavy. It requires the whole body to support the head. The same thing if suddenly one hand is real big, another hand is small, and suddenly you can do it. The feet too small and the hand too big, couldn't walk. So the whole body, the function together and grow properly together so it can act and work properly. So all members do not have the same function for self. So each of you have spiritual gift. And somehow all of this spiritual gift have to gather together to build a church as a body and function properly. So we have the worship, that one function. The fellowship, like another function. Do we have the fellowship together? So I'm just so happy you have, what is that, ice cream? That's the fellowship, function together. But do you have the community service? The fire department is like, do you have anything else? Go down so we can help. The community service, that service for external thing. Do you have evangelism? That's another function. Okay? And we praise the Lord, we have Sunday school or the Bible study. So five basic function of the church. And it's like all function grow together to support each other. So can build the church to support the children ministry, can support the young couple ministry, youth ministry, to support all of that function in the body of Christ. And that's what Paul tried to tell us and try to teach us. So you would find out when the physical body has elements do not function as they should, and the body will fail. Let's just say this morning your foot decides to go sleep. I don't want to walk anymore. You couldn't move. You cannot come to the church. Or you cannot go to work because the feet said, "Oh, I'm quit. I'm on strike. We'll be in trouble." Or suddenly the mouth said, I decided not to eat for 1 month. And your stomach kept growling. You run up energy. Well, let's just say like over 40 days. You can survive 40 days. Okay? And something begins to go wrong in the body. Same thing that what he's talking about. So working together is mean in service to our King, our God. Pondering my believer that we do not serve for ourselves, but rather whatever you do in word or deed, do on in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks through him to God the Father. That's in the book of Colossians chapter 3 verse 17. So what exactly spiritual discipline in worship service? One, it's talking about reasonable. It means you completely surrender yourself in that worship service, in life, family, at work, or even in church. Show you are humble. Because whatever you have, that's the gift God gives to you. Be humble. Because when you humble yourself with one gift, and possibly the Lord will give you the second one and the third one, so you can grow in the body of Christ. and show you are useful. So if each one of you in this room, you said, I don't have anything to do for service, talk to your leadership team, okay? Or maybe participate in a fellowship, maybe evangelism event, or community service, whatever. So you can be useful in the body of Christ. You would understand when we worship God, service Him, our Lord, King of Kings. You have to remember He already paid the price, He paid for our sin. So that reason why we logical and reasonable in service. But again, the discipline is so critical. You would find out it requires discipline. Because if you trouble to discipline in church, you would have problem discipline in life. Because in church, nobody control you. Nobody control you. Because we're free in worship. We're free of our mind, our spirit, to serve the Lord. But in life, if the lack of discipline, they will punish you. So discipline requires to build up since you're young and probably help you through life. The discipline is the key. And spiritual discipline requires the same thing for you to grow. So that reason why spiritual discipline requires you to pray, to study the word, whatever the time the Lord gives you. It requires discipline. And when you understand God's word, you understand what you're supposed to do, the right thing and the wrong thing, to separate right and wrong and make the decision, have the wisdom from God to discern right or wrong and to make certain decision and for the rest of your life. So His desire to look at us faithfully execute the task with discipline through God's word. So He called us, so He equipped us to do so. Let us stand up so we can read this verse together. If in case you forgot just about whatever I'm saying, so at least remember this to apply everything you do in life, school, work, church, every activity in your life, okay? By the mercy of God, to present your body a living holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Okay? Let's read one more time to sing it in, okay? By the mercy of God, to present your body living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Remember, acceptable to God, His standard. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much just being here to study your word, especially about the topic, spiritual discipline in worship service. So I pray God's word will be in each one of us in this room, so we can apply it in every day of our life. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will be with on this, your people in this room, can apply your word, the discipline, spiritual discipline in worship service for every day of their life, from now and forever. Amen.